Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And David Reed, if I may, I have some bitching I have to do.
Well, is there anything I can do to stop you?
No, okay. I have to get this off my chest. So Adam Vinken seems to be the police of my vacation. I was gone for a week. That doesn't mean that I logged off of Twitter and I just completely took my mind away from sports. And maybe that's because I like my job. I can't speak for all of you, but I like my job. So I want to watch sports. You know, when we were in Costa Rica, Lindsay planned a massage around when the Vandy UT game was on. And I said, great. Now I'll be able to sit by the pool and listen to Vandy UT. And Andrew Allegretta did a great job calling that game on Sunday. There were hockey games I wanted to watch, basketball, and of course I wanted to keep up with what was going on. Why? Because I like my job. So I have to ask a question, because I was on Twitter while I was gone, and I put out a tweet at about, I'm going to guess, around 8:30 a.m. Costa Rica time, which is really mountain time, 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, saying I did not think the Titans would get a single primetime game. Not a Thursday night game, not a split Monday doubleheader, not a Saturday game, zero, nothing, zilch, nada. And as soon as I did, there was just an avalanche of tweets about, this is where the rant I have to get into comes from, which is at what point, and I'm going to put this on Titans Twitter, I'm not going to say you all, but I am talking about Titans Twitter when I say you all. When did you all become such crybabies? In all seriousness. Like, has this always been a Titan fans are sensitive kind of thing? Or is this new because being the worst team in the league and now being the most irrelevant team in the league has brought it out of you? I don't know. My Twitter was on fire Wednesday, again, over the prediction that the Titans wouldn't get a primetime game. I tweeted that out at like 8:30 in the morning. And everything was, go cover another team. You hate the Titans. You are so wrong. I can't wait. You just hate the Titans. When are you going to have something positive to say about the Titans? You should go cover other teams. It's like, easy there, crybaby. Maybe when they're not the worst team in the league, maybe not when they're the most irrelevant team in the league, maybe then I'll say something positive. Maybe if they do something positive, I'll say something positive. So then the whole day goes on, and the schedule drops at 7 o'clock, and the Titans had exactly zero primetime games. So I was right, and I responded to those who said that I hated the Titans, or said that I should go cover another team, or how they wish they could get rid of me, or whatever. And everything was, we don't care, you still suck. And I sat there and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. What? So I was right. And again, I wasn't right because I wanted to be a total a-hole. I just guessed what games were going to be on TV and what games aren't going to be on TV. I am obsessed with how the NFL goes about television. And so I know the rules. I know now not everybody gets a Thursday night game. I know now teams can get multiple Thursday night games. Teams can be flexed out of Monday night. Like, I know the rules. And I just knew, like, yeah, they're not going to put Cam Ward on TV. I just knew there wasn't a game where there was a quarterback on the Titans schedule that they could put into primetime and really justify it outside of, say, Kansas City and Mahomes. But they're going to have so many other games with Mahomes to put on TV that that's going to be the one that they put on at noon. And finally, I realized, you know what? Is this a societal problem or is this a Titan fan problem? So I asked ChatGPT. I was sitting there in the Miami airport and I said to ChatGPT, how much do people prefer affirmation versus information? Because again, these people that are getting mad when I said, yeah, I just wanted the prediction out there. I wanted to be on the record to say, I don't think they're going to get a single primetime game. And let me say this. If they got three Sunday night games and a Monday night game, those same people that said, we don't care, you still suck, would have been saying, ah, you clown, you're never right. But I asked ChatGPT and I said, how much do people prefer affirmation versus information? Reed, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you prefer affirmation or information when you are listening to content, watching the news, scrolling Twitter, etc.?
I need information.
That's how I feel. ChatGPT says, while the exact percentages can vary by demographic and study mythology, most research and expert analysis suggests the majority of people seek affirmation over information when consuming news. A reasonable estimate based on media psychology and audience studies would be affirmation-seeking people, 60 to 75%. Information-seeking, 25 to 35. It says, why the split affirmation? Most people gravitate towards content that reinforces their existing beliefs. It's emotionally satisfying and reduces cognitive dissonance and aligns with identity-based media consumption, i.e. partisan cable news. Information, a smaller portion actively seeks objective or challenging perspectives, often driven by intellectual curiosity, professional needs, or a commitment to critical thinking. 75%. 75% of you want fluff. And Reed, you know what I've realized through all of this?
That number's probably actually low.
Well, I'm going to say that 0% of the people actually admit to it. Like 0%. The people that just sit their tushes on the couch, plop down and put on MSNBC or Fox News and only watch that. You are seeking affirmation. You're not seeking information. But that person thinks, no, no, no. This is the real news. I'm seeking information. But, I mean, the amount of people. I mean, somebody tweeted me today at the very, very beginning of the show. Let me pull this up. Somebody tweeted me at the very, very beginning. At Caribbean Titan says, I challenge you to say something nice or positive about our Titans. Well, let's have the Titans do something nice, and then I'll say something nice. Let me say this. You all think that because I didn't want them to draft Cam Ward, that I have this unrelenting desire to be right, that I'm rooting for Cam Ward to fail. That could not be further from the truth. I want Cam Ward to be Jaden Daniels. I want to be sitting here this time next year talking about three Sunday night games, two Monday night games. I mean, they have overexposed the Titans on TV. This schedule is not fair to the Titans. They will kick off at 8 o'clock on Sunday, get home at 4 a.m, and then have to go out the next week and play on Thursday night. That's not fair. That's what I look forward to because it means you're good. It means you're relevant. But I'm not Visa. I'm not MasterCard. I don't owe you credit. I do not understand. For the 75% of you out there that just only want to hear good things, what you actually get out of it, how you can't see through some of that. And yet I know it exists. And Wednesday was a good example. One pundit says, oh, my prediction is you're going to get zero primetime games. You hate the Titans. No, it's the truth. And as Snoop Dogg said, truth hurts. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on the program. Corey Curtis, News 2. He will join us next here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks, Nashville's best deal this week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get $50 gift card for only $25, so half off. Again, a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Stillman and Company, and again, I got Adam Vingan texting me about where did you get the information from ChatGPT that 75% or 65 to 75% seek out affirmation content as opposed to information content. I said ChatGPT. That's where I got it from. He said, that's the problem with our education system today. Okay. Look, I'm not writing a research paper here. I'm talking about sports on the radio. It'll be okay. Corey Curtis joins us, News 2, here on the program. So, Corey, I have a stick up my rear end. You know that I often do. But yeah, with the Titans getting zero primetime games, I feel like that is the ultimate sign of disrespect. Not saying that, well, you're bad. We know you're bad. But that you're irrelevant. With there being so many windows today, how ashamed of themselves should the Titans be that they didn't nab a single national primetime viewing window?
Are you talking about the players or the organization?
The organization.
Well, I mean, look, I think they should. They should be really ashamed, but I think they should be more ashamed about being 3-14. I mean, look, if I'm the NFL, it's not a sign of disrespect, Jared. You're 3-14, and you have zero marketable players. All right, you're hoping Cam Ward is a marketable player, but when you let Derrick Henry go, all right, and you moved on from him, he was your marketable player. When you traded away A.J. Brown, you traded away a marketable player. You have no marketable players, and you're bad. Why would the NFL choose you to put you on primetime? Your own fans don't even show up for the games.
Yeah, I think my thing is to not be upset at the NFL. I'm just upset with the state of the Titans.
It's not disrespect. It's reality.
I view the NFL, and you know me. I try to be as objective as possible. I try to be as honest as possible. Like, I try to be intellectually honest, knowing that my own bias at times will override that, and I will think that I'm being honest when I'm really not. I just had a rant about how people that sit down and watch cable news all day think that they're actually watching information and not affirmation, but it's their news channel that tells the truth, and I don't believe that. But I'm aware of my own bias. I find the NFL's decision as to who to put in prime time to be as apolitical, as subjective as humanly possible, because the single most important thing to all 32 teams is the money. And the way they get the money is by accurately getting these massive television ratings. And in order to do it, you have to know who to put on TV. And that's why I don't think the NFL is biased against the Titans, Corey.
No, and you know, let's use the Dallas Cowboys as an example here. They were not good last year, right? But the star is always marketable. Always. It just is. Micah Parsons is infinitely marketable. CeeDee Lamb is marketable. Okay? They have stars. They have the star. So that is why they're on primetime like six times, whether they're good or not. Okay? It's about what can you present to the fans. The Jaguars don't have any primetime games either. All right. They're in the same boat, which I think you should be more ashamed about that than anything, that you're in the same boat as that team. But that's just reality. I mean, yes, they're not in the biggest markets, but it has more to do with the product that they've consistently put on the field. All right. It's just that simple. You look, when the Titans were winning games, they were on in primetime. I remember watching them go to Lambeau Field and win. Traylon Burks catching a long pass, you know, down the sideline. That was a primetime game. And that was back when they were winning. When you are losing, and by the way, have turned the page on your best players, you now have to find new best players. And you have to win games if you want anyone to find you interesting. It's not a slap in the face. It'd be like getting like a 60 on your science test and being upset that no one came to tell you how well you did or picking you for their science team. All right. You've got to produce at some point if you want the results.
Well, or at least give somebody a reason to watch. You know, I mean, that's
my point. There's no reason right now. They're hoping there's a reason. Okay, we're going to find out if Cam Ward is a reason. But if he's not, there's not going to be any primetime games in 2026 either.
I will tell you this. I think if the Titans had drafted Shedeur Sanders number one overall, they'd have like three primetime games.
The NFL could market that, right?
Right. It's not about who's good. It's about who will get people to turn on the TV. That's what it's
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
The Titans happen to not be good and to not be worth watching on television as far as the league is concerned. You brought up Derrick Henry. Corey Curtis with us, News 2. I believe that this week has crystallized just how dreadful the Titans' decision midway through the 2022 season, when they did it, to pull the plug on John Robinson was, I know that they did it with the best intention of getting the right general manager to pair with the great Mike Vrabel, and that they were going to go on and win championships. And Vrabel has three primetime games in New England. They stink, but at least they think they're worth watching, or Vrabel's worth watching. Derrick Henry just inked a $15 million a year extension that is pretty much all guaranteed in Baltimore with the Ravens. So the Titans thought Henry was done. The Ravens don't think Henry's done. And I wonder if you were Amy Adams Strunk, so I'm not going to say should she feel this way. I'm going to say would you feel this way. Would you look back at the decision that you made to fire Robinson when you did it, and would you be disappointed with yourself?
I mean, I might not have fired him during the season, but you know we differ on this. I think he is a huge – I mean, you were headed in this direction, okay? The roster was getting worse and worse. Just because you've done a poor job following that firing doesn't mean firing him was the wrong move, okay? It just means that you didn't follow it up with another good move. That's disappointing that you have not been able to follow it up by putting the people in place to get you out of this hole, okay? You know, Lou Holtz used to always say when he was at South Carolina, Kyra's in the ditch, who's going to get out and push? They don't have enough people who've gotten out to push. They've got to find those people. They haven't found those people to this point. And that's on her because she was the one who did all the hiring, you know, to this point. And, you know, whether Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker can do it, that's going to be on her too. But again, I am not going to sit here and say, you know, it's all because they fired John Robinson. John Robinson had three lousy years. Regardless, I know what the record was, Jared. I also know they'd lost three games in a row and just been humiliated by A.J. Brown. And we all know the direction that they were headed in because the roster was getting worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, they fired him because he was not doing a good job at this point. And the problem is they did not hire someone who did a good job to follow him up with. That is the problem. So that's the problem, is that you made a bad hire after you made the move.
Corey Curtis with us here on the program. Again, the schedule being released is somewhat the big story here. I do wonder this when it comes to the Titans, and it comes to their decision to – I have never seen the fan base in love with an undrafted free agent who hadn't done anything. Like, Drew Bennett, the fan base loved, after Drew Bennett lit up, like, four preseason games, and it was like, who the hell's this guy? You know, I mean, I remember when the fans got into DeJuan Hicks from MTSU because he was lighting it up in the preseason. Xavier Restrepo has had one day of rookie minicamp, and there are already Titan fans customizing a jersey for Xavier Restrepo. My question for you is this. If he's not good enough, do you think the Titans have the scruples to go to Cam Ward and say, we're going to release your buddy because he's not good? Or do you think that they will keep him because they think that keeping him will make Cam more comfortable?
I think this administration is going to, if he's not good enough, he won't be here. Okay? I think it's that simple. And I think Cam Ward is a business-oriented enough person where winning and losing to him and performing well are important, where if Restrepo's not good enough, he'll understand that, okay? I mean, look, the kid was highly productive in college. He's certainly worthy of taking a look at as an undrafted free agent. It costs you nothing, except, like, you're talking about the possibility of ruffling feathers. But, you know, look, if he catches 19 passes in the preseason for 260 yards and three touchdowns, they're not going to cut him because – he produced and he was good enough, but if he's not capable of doing anything, then he won't be here. or he'll be on the practice squad at most. You don't make roster decisions to make fans or players happy. You make roster decisions to win and lose games.
That being said, sometimes people hire their kids on the coaching staff and hire their girlfriend to be PR director, apparently, Bill Belichick. but I would say, I just right now, just yes or no, or yeah. One or the other, right now in your head, who do you think is going to be the better NFL player, Bryce Oliver or Xavier Restrepo?
I like Bryce Oliver a lot, so I'll say Bryce Oliver.
That was my litmus test.
He's a strong player, big hands. And what I like about Bryce Oliver is, was challenged last year with playing special teams, and by the end of the year was darn good at it. Yeah. And so that tells me he is someone who takes his business really seriously. And so I don't know if Bryce Oliver is going to produce this year or not, but he had a good camp last year, and I'm excited to see if he can do anything this year.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, what's your hot take?
You know, you brought up Bill Belichick, and this was going to be my hot take last week, but you weren't here, so I couldn't say it.
Sure.
I'm not sure he makes it to opening day.
I'm not in disagreement with that. Though I will say this. I did buy Belichick's book. I bought Belichick's book with an Audible credit. I don't know if you use Audible or not, but I bought Belichick's book with an Audible credit on the flight before I left Costa Rica because I was like, I need something to listen to. And I got to tell you, it put me right to sleep. Oh, yeah.
Did he narrate it?
He did. And it put me right to sleep. There are two books that I have bought off of Audible, and I am a big Audible listener. There are two books I've listened to that are like melatonin to me. The Matthew Perry memoir, which is read by Matthew Perry, and may he rest in peace, but I bought it before he passed away. That thing put me to sleep. I mean, I've seen what my son sleeps like, so now I know what it means like when they say out like a baby. That thing, if I like couldn't go to bed, it's like, put Matthew Perry on, and I will fall asleep, and Belichick's book. That thing is freaking boring. Boring.
Don't you think that like 10 years from now, North Carolina is going to go, what were we thinking?
I think they did that 10 days ago. I mean, I think Belichick, it's a joke. It's a joke. And I watched that Patriots documentary on the way to Costa Rica, the Dynasty Apple one or whatever.
Yeah.
And before this all came out, it looked like Kraft was trying to make Belichick the bad guy. Now I'm watching this and I'm like, I think Robert Kraft saw the signs. I think Kraft saw the signs of Belichick making decisions. And he was like, what is the matter with this guy?
That's why you told Arthur Blank, don't do it.
Don't do it. This guy is a total hypocrite. 615-737-125. Corey Curtis, good stuff as always. We will talk soon.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Corey Curtis on our program. 615-737-125. Speaking of Xavier Restrepo, I have to address something that apparently made a lot of people upset. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 125 The Game.
The rod up Jared Stillman's butt must have a rod up its butt when it comes to Xavier Restrepo. Now, keep in mind, when Jared sent this tweet out on Saturday evening, Jared is out of the country. He is in a tropical location. He is with his girlfriend. They are young parents. This might be the first time the two of them have been away from little Jack Stillman. And yet Jared can't help himself. He can't put the phone down and unleash takes on the world even when he's thousands of miles away from Nashville, Tennessee. This was the tweet. Quote, I don't know. I don't have a good Jared Stillman impression. I'll have to work on it.
I don't have a good one either.
Why does Titans Twitter want Xavier Restrepo to be a star? You drafted two rookie wide receivers who actually run. You should be cheering for them. Restrepo can't play outside or do anything meaningful on special teams. Who cares that he's Cam Ward's buddy? Cam can get new, better ones. I wish I was making that up. That is the... I feel like if I went to ChatGPT and said, hey, ChatGPT, can you create a Jared Stillman ridiculous take for me? That's what it would spit out.
There you go. That was Adam Vingan earlier this week talking about the rod up my butt's rod in its butt. And it's not with Xavier Restrepo. But I do have a rod up my ass with people, Titans fans, Titans Twitter, pretending that Xavier Restrepo is the second coming of Jerry Rice. Again, I'm fine with wanting every Titan player to do well and to get behind him and to let the results for what happens on the practice field and everything else speak for itself. What I am not in the business of is overhyping a short, slow, undrafted free agent who has almost zero chance to make the team because it sounds like a good Hallmark movie. And the excitement that Titan fans have for Xavier Restrepo, it is straight out of La La Land. This is almost the same as all the Bill Callahan stuff from last year, except Bill Callahan actually had a legitimate NFL resume. Xavier Restrepo is an undrafted free agent on a team that drafted two wide receivers. He only plays the slot. Only. He cannot play outside. Even if he's not a 4.85 because his hamstring was bad, he's probably more in the 4.65 than he is 4.55. That matters in the NFL. Again, it may not matter in your Disney movie where Cam and Xavier Restrepo are best buddies and they go to the same NFL team and Angels in the backfield. And they do the little wave and everything else. But in reality, he's slow in the NFL. And this is a team that already has a slot receiver who has 8,500 NFL receiving yards. So, again, forget about the storybook ending and think more about reality. How can somebody who runs a 4.85, and even if that was just a bad one-off time, and it's really more like 4.65, and is short, be a gunner when you have a guy like Bryce Oliver, who played in 10 games last year, runs a 4.55, and is a good special teams player? Again, this is a total fantasy that Titan fans have made up in their head. To me, Xavier Restrepo is no different than any other undrafted free agent that the Titans signed. He is not any different than any of those other guys. And guess how much I know about them? Zero. Why? Because when you're an undrafted free agent in the NFL, this is just reality. You have to earn attention. But not in your crappy NFL meets Hallmark meets Nickelodeon story of two best buddies who went to college together and put their arms around one another and are vowed to one day be the next Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. To be completely honest with you, given where Restrepo stands on this roster, two receivers they've paid for, two receivers they've drafted, tons of guys with NFL special teams and return experience, I almost think the movie Air Bud, you know, the one where the golden retriever plays basketball, is more realistic than what some of you are cooking up in your head with this Xavier Restrepo Cam Ward nonsense. He is an undrafted free agent, period. Jim Wyatt's writing articles about him, Titan fans. Yeah! They're showing a route on air of Cam Ward dropping off a warm-up pass to Xavier Restrepo, Titan fans. Yeah! Like, I'm sorry, this is beneath us. I understand we've only had the NFL for 27 years or whatever it is. But if you know ball, you know, don't get excited about one pass on air in warm-ups of rookie minicamp. And yet they just can't do it. The amount of Titan fans that want to fight with me over that 40 time. Well, he doesn't really run that slow, Jared. Go check the tape. Well, maybe you should talk to the other 32 teams because they didn't draft him either. It's like Brian Callahan asked about the 40 time. Oh, it matters. Well, Callahan says he looks faster on film. Yes, just not fast enough for us to draft or anybody else to draft. And yes, I know there are some players that have become good players that were once undrafted free agents. I'm not saying that Restrepo has no shot to be good. I'm just saying it's almost improbable. Robbie and Joe had a caller this week who called in and said, well, Drew Pearson was undrafted and he made the Hall of Fame. So Xavier Restrepo can. People have said Jerry Rice didn't run a fast 40. Jerry Rice didn't run a 4.8 either. And Jerry Rice was drafted in the first round. This idea that because you want Xavier Restrepo to be something he's not, that he's going to be it. Again, it just screams, I'd rather have a Disney movie than actually talk about real football and how football teams are built. And that is the rod I have up my tush. Not some anti-Xavier Restrepo rod. It is the idea that, well, let's just dismiss the fact that he's short. Oh, it doesn't matter, Jared. Let's just dismiss the fact that he is slow. Oh, that 40 time doesn't count, Jared. Let's just dismiss the fact that you drafted two receivers ahead of him. You need them to be good because they actually have talent. Let's forget about all that. Let's embrace this heartwarming story of a guy who went to college for 1 year with another guy. Boy, that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. I remember reading a story at the Titans website years ago after the Titans drafted Vince Young and Lindale White in the first two rounds. And I loved it. And I remember the headline, Frank Wycheck thinks that the Titans drafting of Vince Young and Lindale White is like drafting Steve McNair and Eddie George. And I thought, yeah! I love Frankie, but say that again. So, again, if you want to talk actual football, and we want to talk about the actual football team, you have to leave the made-for-TV sideshow at home because I don't care about that. Shedeur Sanders was a TV UDF, or a TV prospect. This guy's a TV UDFA. Just TV, that's it. It's a good story. Doesn't really mean anything football-wise, but it's a nice story. And again, that is the rod I have up my tush. 615-737-1025. I only see one of two ways that Xavier Restrepo makes this football team, and I don't think either are very likely. We'll hit them both next. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 1025 the game.
Cam, for getting Xavier on the team, and how excited were you to see them sign him?
I was really excited when they signed X. He's somebody who's deserving of it. He's worked hard every day. He's one of the most underrated players that was in the draft this year. So, you know, I think, you know, every time he steps on the field, you know, he remembers everything. And, you know, he's going to continue to prove it, you know, to himself.
Did you push for him a little bit, during the draft process and afterwards as well? Did you hope or were you, you know, trying to nudge people to bring him aboard?
Mm-hmm. I did push for him. Every team that I visited with, I pushed for him. He's one of the best route runners in college football last year. He's first team all conference. He's all American. He never lost in man coverage. He's back to back 1,000-yard receiver. So why wouldn't you push for him?
That was Cam Ward saying, I think he was one of the most underrated players in the draft. Would you like to share the full list with me, Cam? Again, is Cam Ward a GM or is he a quarterback? I would love to know about how many players Cam Ward evaluated coming out for the draft. Is he now the team's GM or not? But it's actually important that we play that cut because Cam Ward probably believes that. And there's probably a lot of people that are like, Cam Ward said he was one of the most underrated players in the draft. Again, I'd like to know what Cam really knew of draft eligible players because I don't think that knowledge is very deep. But let me say this. Xavier Restrepo's best chance of making the Titans is that the Titans keep him because he's Cam Ward's buddy. And you may think that is crazy because why would we do? We got to get the best 53, Jared. But that's not really how sports works. You know, when I was in women's basketball at Louisville, I think I can share this story. There were two players that we offered scholarships to and ended up on our team. And mind you, we weren't some Scarbini program. We went to the national championship game. And there was one player who ended up on our team. And I love this woman to death. Just love her to death. But the only reason we offered her a scholarship is because her best friend said they were a package deal. We offered both of them a scholarship. The friend signed. The good player didn't. She ended up leading her team to a national championship. So at least we picked the right person to go all in with the friend. The problem was we didn't get the other one. But we were willing to take the friend to get the good one. The second one was a sister who ended up being a very good player for us. But again, we offered her because we wanted her sister. So I could see the Titans saying, hey, we're all in on making sure that Cam feels comfortable, that Cam is happy, that Cam is, so we're keeping Cam's buddy. And that is the best shot that he has to make this team. Because other than that, unless the coach, if the coach and the GM aren't worried about hurting Cam's feelings or aren't worried about saying, look, man, he's not very good, then he will not make the team. And here's why. In the NFL, the maximum amount of receivers that you would keep is 7. And that is the maximum. The number really is 5 or 6 for teams in the NFL, especially with the practice squad option to be able to call somebody up and then send them back down. Well, you've already got 4 that are going to make the team. Ridley, Lockett, DK, and Io Manor. That's 4. They're on the team. Unless somebody tears an ACL and goes on IR or the PUP list, those 4 are on it. So now there is a maximum of 3 spots, but again, most teams really carry 5 or 6. Well, so we know who's going to start at receiver. Ridley outside, Lockett in the slot, and probably one of the other guys outside. But if not one of those other guys, DK or Io Manor, then it's probably going to be Van Jefferson. 5. Now, who's playing Gundner? You know, the guy on the outside when you punt the ball who runs down to the other side to try to go tackle the other team's punt returner? Who's playing that position? Because it ain't going to be the guy that runs a 4.85. Then, who is returning punts? Now, Bryce Oliver ran a 4.55 coming out, and he can play gunner, and he did play gunner, and he did cover 32 punts and did it well last year. James Prochet, whom the Titans signed as a free agent, a veteran, has 218 career punt returns in the National Football League. Mason Kinsey has done everything that you would ask somebody to do. Gunner, returner, slot receiver. And Treylon Burks is still guaranteed somewhere in the ballpark of $2.6 million. Now, I expect him to start the year on the PUP list, so he won't count against it. But these people that are like, just go ahead, cut Burks. When's Burks getting cut? It's not going to happen. He's guaranteed money. No NFL team carries a backup slot receiver who can't play special teams, who can't play outside, and who can't run. So again, the only path I see to him making the roster is either the team is afraid to cut Cam's buddy, which again happens more often than you think. It's like these guys that have their sons on the coaching staff. Do you really think that Steven Belichick is the best option to be the defensive coordinator at North Carolina? Or do you think he has the job because he's Bill's son? Or Tyler Lockett gets hurt and that opens up a spot for somebody to actually play the slot and the slot alone. Those are the only 2 shots he has. But I know. It's a great story. I know it's great. One texture says, how can Titan fans be more excited for Restrepo versus their drafted receivers? Titan fans are really setting themselves up for depression again. This, to me, is a lot like when all of last offseason, there were all these concerns, and Titan fans just brushed them off because they didn't want it to be true. They wanted the story. They wanted the story of Bill Callahan saving the offensive line. They wanted the story of the summer of Let Rand Cook letting this team become a perennial contender. Like, I think Mike Vrabel is going to fail in New England. I do. I think Vrabel is too hard-headed. I think Vrabel struggles with his coaching staff. I am not sure. Now, he's got Josh McDaniels there to help out with Drake May, but I do not know if Vrabel has the patience and really the right kind of encouraging attitude to be able to develop a young quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he has any of that. And I certainly don't think that he's a good scout for talent. But there is a chance I'm wrong. And there is a chance that Mike Vrabel makes the Patriots respectable, which they have not been for a little bit. And I will admit, if that happens, I will admit that I'm wrong. But I I'm not caught up in this storybook of the great Mike Vrabel returning home. I guarantee you there are some people up there that are. I don't care about that stuff. I care about, again, building a football team. One texter says, nobody truly cares about Restrepo. I saw somebody on Twitter got a Restrepo jersey made with number 87, and somebody told, no, just wait. Once he makes the team, he'll get number 7. By the way, a buddy of mine texted me who went to Miami, and he said, he's like, I bet you $5 that Restrepo makes the team, and I want to take the bet, but I am not sold that the Titans will not use a roster spot on Cam's friend. In all seriousness. One texter says, I know you heard a long time ago that you don't draft guys that run under a certain time. The Titans did not draft him, hence undrafted free agent. But what difference it makes if a group of fans who, keep in mind, make zero executive decisions on the team, root for a good, for what was a good, factually, statistically good receiver at Miami and not Incarnate Word. I mean, again, it's a waste of time. It's intellectually dishonest. I mean, I'm here to talk about what really matters. You guys are here to talk about what makes you feel good. Give me a break. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Titans got zero primetime games. And the NFL's vice president of broadcasting, the guy who makes the schedule and gets a thumbs up or a thumbs down from Roger Goodell, says that the Titans have to play their way into primetime, not draft their way into primetime. What he won't tell you, what he won't say, is the reality. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.